From KQED and the California Report, this is Capitol Notes, a weekly roundup of California politics from the state capitol in Sacramento.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Capitol Notes podcast for this week ending October 19th. I'm John Myers from KQED Public Radio, and once again, a different kind of podcast this week. We're doing all kinds of things just to kind of mix up our discussion of the week's news and politics and public policy. This week, I want to talk about one particular issue that got a lot of attention here at the state capitol in Sacramento. And so my colleagues from the other media outlets will join us back next week for kind of the roundtable discussion. This week, however, I want to take you inside a committee hearing that happened at the state capitol in midweek about privatizing the California lottery. And you've probably heard about this proposal out there for a few months now. Back in late spring, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger first put forward the idea that perhaps the California lottery could be privatized and or could be leased to a private entity, and an upfront amount of money that that entity would give the state would help pay for all kinds of things. Recently, just a couple of weeks ago, Governor modified that idea and suggested not only that we'd get the upfront money, but that we would invest that upfront payment for leasing the lottery, and a good portion of the amount, the interest, I guess, that would come off of that investment could be used to pay for health care reform. His estimate, around $2 billion a year in returns, I guess you would call it, from that annuity, not to get too financial here on us. So that idea has been out there as well. So midweek, the Governmental Organization Committee of the California State Senate, chaired by Dean Flores, who is a state senator, a Democrat from Shafter in the Central Valley. Senator Flores convened a hearing to look at privatization of the lottery and called in a whole bunch of experts. Now, it was about a 4.5-hour hearing. You didn't sit through it. I sat through it. You're probably lucky you didn't sit through the whole thing. It was a little wonkish, a little deep into policy. But some interesting things came out of that hearing. And so what I thought we would do in this week's podcast is let you in on some of the excerpts of that discussion and try to get a real sense of where this issue about lottery privatization is. I think most people there would clearly tell you that after that hearing, you came away really understanding that this is a really complicated issue. And with all due respect to the governor and his staff, you know, the simplification that the lottery just isn't performing well, it's underperforming, is not enough to really consider whether or not we should lease the lottery out to a private entity. It's more complicated. There are a lot of issues to resolve, not the least of which is the initiative that created the lottery in 1984 that was passed by voters. As several experts said, all the experts said, quite frankly, it's a fairly restrictive initiative. And as a result, California has one of the most tightly constructed, tightly restricted kind of lottery operations in America because the voters set it up that way in passing this initiative 23 years ago. One of the folks who showed up to talk about the lottery, who's done some research, and I figured that's what would give you an overview of this, is a gentleman named Kevin Cloudon, who is a researcher with the Milken Institute. The Milken Institute is an economic think tank based in Southern California. And several months ago, Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez commissioned a study from the Milken Institute to look at lottery privatization, pros, cons, what could happen. That study was just released to the public this week. And Kevin Cloudon, who's the author of the study, came to the Senate committee to talk about what he found out. And it was, I think it was a very good overview of exactly why the lottery has struggled, where the lottery's problems are, and how difficult it is to just simply say you're going to make the lottery more efficient and someone will come and run it. One of the analogies that was used in this hearing was that the California lottery was created back when Pong was the hip video game of the time, and now we're in an Xbox world, and that the lottery has not moved forward over the years in terms of improving its technology. It is still stuck in the Pong era. You remember Pong, the little tennis game back and forth. So that analogy was out there a lot, and Kevin Cloudon refers to it in his conversation here, testifying on the hearing. So this is Kevin Cloudon, a researcher with the Milken Institute, talking about why the lottery has problems.
We are underperforming. Part of it, however, if you look at California is that in terms of the restrictions, in terms of the way it's been operated, is that California, if you adjust for inflation, has consistently seen lottery performance decline. It's had occasional spikes when new games have been introduced, when new ideas have been put forth. The Mega Millions decision to join that essentially cannibalized the Super Lotto sales. So the real growth in terms of California either needs to come from innovations which essentially have been prohibited or severely restricted since the mid-1990s. So if you want to go back to the Pong analogy, sure. Essentially we got to like the regular Nintendo system and then stopped. So the problem is that everybody else in terms of competition or in terms of where gambling is going has advanced. If you go in and you deal with the Indian casinos, they have new technologies in their games. If you go to the card rooms, they have new formats. They have rapidly expanded in terms of their operations. And yes, that means a competitive environment. But the issue then becomes if California wants its lottery to continue to perform, what has to happen in order to make that possible? Throwing out the issue of privatization for a moment and just concentrating on performance, the fact is, and I think it was raised by a couple different people, including you, Senator, that the ability of the lottery to perform in terms of lifting the restrictions pretty much has to happen one way or the other if the lottery is going to be considered an ongoing viable asset. Mm-hmm. Even if privatization or partial sales are not considered, the fact is that there are restrictions in place in terms of how the lottery operates. Even if it's privatized, there will continue to be restrictions in some ways because there should be effective state oversight. The issue basically is, does the lottery contribute enough, whether it's to the general fund, whether it's to healthcare, whether it's to education? And also, given the constraints in terms of the 34% that has to go to education, what that really means, it also means that effective investments in new machines, which we keep talking about, in new infrastructure, in new technologies, are all essentially precluded by the fact that they don't really have control over their long-term budget. One thing that was mentioned to me, and the lottery commissioner can confirm this, is the fact that any excess money that's left over at the end of the year automatically is put into the education fund. So they can't even keep it to invest into infrastructure. So if they run a surplus beyond any of their projections, they lose the surplus. No other lottery has to operate under those restrictions. If we look at the privatization issue, it's coming up because there is a budgetary issue. There is the fact that we need to raise money, and if we take all of the money from an upfront standpoint, the $37 billion mentioned by Lehman, or a smaller amount from any other source, the issue becomes, what do you do with all of that? And does the state basically take the position that investing this money is going to provide a better rate of return than the expansion of the lottery?
That, again, was Kevin Cloudon, a researcher with the Milk Institute, an economic think tank in Southern California. And Cloudon wrote a research paper that Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez had asked for, looking at the pros and cons of privatizing the lottery. And so, as you can see, it's a complicated issue and a difficult one that I think for the legislature to try to wrestle with and to negotiate with the governor and get something in front of the voters. Just about everybody at this hearing said that you do have to go back to the voters to ask them to make changes in order to do anything else different with the lottery. A lot of the discussion at this hearing in front of the Senate Governmental Organization Committee in midweek was with a panel of folks who work for Wall Street investment firms. Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan both had representatives at the meeting. A third investment firm, Shearson Lehman, who actually apparently is the firm that came up with this number that's been put out in the press so often, this number that we could get a $37 billion upfront payment for leasing the lottery. The Lehman folks were not at this hearing, but the two other investment firms were. And the person who most recognizable out of that group of bankers and financial experts was someone who has had a job in California politics in the past, and that's Kathleen Brown, the former state treasurer and daughter of the late Governor Pat Brown, and of course, sister to former Governor Jerry Brown. Kathleen Brown now works with Goldman Sachs, running a lot of their look at governmental operations ideas and proposals. She works out of their offices in Southern California. And so she was one of the folks testifying about the pros and cons of lottery privatization. And I thought it's helpful to consider this exchange between Kathleen Brown and the chairman of the committee, Democrat State Senator Dean Flores of Shafter, where they were talking a little bit about risk and a little bit about, quite frankly, you know, Flores's question was, well, why shouldn't the state of California just keep running the lottery but try to improve the lottery? What's the downside to the state there? Kathleen Brown had what I thought was an interesting response to that. You'll also hear in this response a colleague of hers from Goldman Sachs, a guy named John Ma. So, again, the question was, why shouldn't the state of California just keep running the lottery but make it more efficient?
I think that there's another element here, and that element is one of risk. And does the state want to continue to take the risk that it will be able to perform and maximize proceeds from the lottery, again, within the public policy framework, given the global economy, given the changes in technology, or do they want to maximize the value that the taxpayers have created with the creation of this lottery, create some certainty, and reinvest and shift that risk to a private sector operator. In addition to which, and John can speak to this in detail, what we're seeing is states wanting to establish a primary value, which they take in upfront proceeds, and then they share in upside going forward with the concessionaire after certain minimum hurdles are hit. And that's a way for the state to capture the premium and the value today, mm-hmm. get that certainty, and eliminate and transfer that risk, but also, after certain thresholds, share in the growth of a lottery business operated under a license.
I think Chair Flores, also you mentioned this up front in your remarks that the California Lottery appears to be an underperforming asset, but just and many of you have read some of these figures already, but if you just compare how the California Lottery performs today relative to other state lotteries, on a per capita sales basis here in California, ticket sales are less than $100 per capita. Mm-hmm. You compare that to the broad national average across all 42 states that have lotteries in place, a national average of close to $170 in sales per capita. If you look at the top 10 most populous states in the country, that averages closer to $220 in ticket sales per capita. So while we can talk about what some of the technological changes might be out there today and looking ahead into the future, I think if you even compare just how the California Lottery performs today and just on an environment similar to how other states operate their lotteries today, it is underperforming, and therefore that explains some of the broad ranges in value. Really, again, back to Kathleen's point, is comes to a point of view on how quickly and to what degree California's lottery can grow to catch up to some of the national averages.
And again, those are big questions, and whether the private world and private investors are willing to assume a lot more risk than the state of California. That was Kathleen Brown, former state treasurer who works for Goldman Sachs. You also heard from John Ma, one of her colleagues at Goldman Sachs. They're talking to Senator Flores, the chairman of the committee. Also that came up here, of course, as I alluded to a little while earlier in this podcast, is the notion that this does have to go back before the voters. Just about everybody agrees with that. It's one of the more challenging parts when the voters create public policy by initiative is that often only the voters can undo or modify what they have done originally. And so Senator Flores asked the panel, and in particular, you'll hear again from former State Treasurer Kathleen Brown, who's with Goldman Sachs. You'll hear her in this exchange. But Senator Flores basically was putting forward to the panel, we have to go back to the voters. We know that. There's some things the voters are not going to be in favor of. And a lot of discussion really focused on who would run the lottery and what kinds of entities. And if it becomes a big gambling enterprise, that could be very difficult to politically sell to the voters. And so that was the senator's question. How do we do that?
Because I don't think we get past the voters by saying Las Vegas-style interests are able to bid and win, period. I just don't see that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see that happening from the very get-go. And then we have to, in essence, pass something that is reflective of the agreement. And so knowing the committee structure, that means everybody had to have their say early on to be reflective of that. If you think it takes a long time, just look at the Indian gaming compacts that went through the legislature. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as though it sailed through.
Right.
I mean, there were lots and lots and lots of discussions with the administration and the legislature on that. At the end of the day, is that a process that any of you have seen in other states, or are we unique in this? And you've mentioned some longer time frames. Is that what's happening in other mm-hmm. states? Or
different states have different statutory or constitutional frameworks. California is one of the states that has been determined that it would require a vote of the people. There's some analysis that would suggest otherwise, but I think the conclusion is that it would have to go to a vote. I think our view would be that the legislature and the administration and the policymakers should reach some general frame of reference
sure.
with some general ranges, but not run the licensing process prior to the certainty that it can happen, because mm-hmm. it would be our view that you would handicap the premium that a state of California licensing for the lottery could command if you had this big uncertainty, and it could limit the potential value.
Again, state treasurer, former state treasurer, I should say, Kathleen Brown, who now works for Goldman Sachs, at this hearing where they were discussing the privatization of the lottery. Senator Flores, the chairman of the committee, Dean Flores from the Central Valley, a Democrat, also wanted to know a little bit more about why this hasn't happened before. A lot of the discussion, if you don't know, focused around what's going on in other states. There are a handful of other states that are actively considering privatizing their lotteries as well. You hear about reports of the legislature in Illinois considering it. Indiana has talked about it in the past, a few other states. Other places in the world, frankly, other countries have considered or have actually privatized their lotteries. But it hasn't happened in the United States. There's still been a lot of discussion in different states, but it hasn't happened. And so I think that was a big question. And it was an interesting exchange when Senator Flores, the chairman, asked about that.
Obviously, we've all talked about 5 other states contemplating, looking into, but yet none has. And, you know, from our vantage point, sitting where we are in California, just your thoughts on why it hasn't occurred in these other states. And then, of course, the follow-up question is, why should California be the first?
Well, I'd say, given the process pathway here in California, it may not be the first by the time any transaction may or may not happen. In Illinois and Indiana, the specific issues are they're still awaiting legislative approval. Legislatures are out of session now in Illinois and Indiana. There was a lot of active debate as to whether this is the right thing to do or not. Mm-hmm. And so I think that dialogue and that process you'll see likely continue in the coming months and years. Aside from that, as you go around the country and talk about some of the states where there have been press reports that, these states are considering it, given all the issues that we've talked about this morning, you understand this is it's a complex business. There are risks. There's many policy and financial decisions that need to be considered and marrying those two up. And so it takes time. And I think that's probably the simple answers at this point. States are exploring this, but given the host of issues and the decisions that need to be made, it will take time to work through these to again, maximize value for any state in contemplating one of these transactions.
I see it, the licensing of the state lottery, be it in California or elsewhere, as in part a financial transaction, mm-hmm. but it's very much of a political transaction and a really important public policy transaction. And the fact that it does take time, the fact that there are delays, is because it is a very important public policy transaction. And the issues need to be weighed, and the objectives need to be defined. And depending upon what your goals are and what problem you are solving to, that will help California and will drive California and these other states to an appropriate conclusion for what is right for them.
That, again, was Kathleen Brown, the former California state treasurer and former gubernatorial candidate, who now works with Goldman Sachs, the investment firm, and was at this hearing midweek talking about privatizing the lottery and the pros and cons. And frankly, you know, the investment firms that certainly have an interest in pursuing this idea. But I think she did raise a question there that you're going to hear similar themes as we go through the next several months talking about privatizing, which is, what exactly is the state trying to solve? What policy issues it trying to resolve? What are the intricacies of this? I mean, one of the things that came up in this hearing that a lot of people will certainly think about over the coming weeks and months is, if you let a private entity run the California lottery, are you going to put restrictions on them? Can they market games to teenagers? What about increasing the number of lottery retailers in low-income neighborhoods? Is there a social cost? Is there a moral issue here? Certainly the folks who are against gambling expansion say there's a major moral issue here. There was also a good discussion, I thought, at one point about with some policy experts that theorized that if people spend more of their disposable income buying lottery tickets because the lottery becomes a more exciting game, then they may not go out to dinner as often. They may not buy shoes or clothes, you know, or an extra outfit at a store. And when you do that, of course, there is a sales tax that's not collected that doesn't go to local and state governments. And so a lot of intricate questions that have to be resolved here. But from a political perspective, probably the big news, or one of the most interesting developments, I should say, of this hearing was a presentation by, quite frankly, the most powerful interest group in California at this point, and that's the California Teachers Association. One of the lobbyists for the CTA, Estelle Lemieux, testified in front of the committee to Senator Flores about some real reservations that the Teachers Association has about this lottery privatization proposal. Now, she told me later after the hearing they have not taken a formal position. They want to see more details. But as you'll hear her testifying here, they have real reservations. And keep in mind, this is a major political issue in addition to a policy issue. If the CTA comes out in formal opposition to lottery privatization, that could make it very complicated to get a proposal through the legislature and onto the ballot. And even if you got it onto the ballot, it could make it complicated for the voters to approve it if the teachers say it's not good for the schools, it's not good for the kids. But Estelle Lemieux here is a lobbyist with CTA, and her presentation to the committee was worth keeping in mind.
We, as an organization, have never supported at the inception of the lottery the whole idea of using gambling dollars to finance education in California. So we weren't part of the initiative process when it first got going. But since it's been in place for 20 years, don't take it away from us. It is, as the last gentleman from the LAO mentioned, a very small portion of the education budget, approximately 1.3%. On the average, it's given a student approximately $125 to $130 per kid in California per year, which amounts to about probably $900 million, since there is a portion that goes to higher education as well. To address what the governor has recently proposed, when he initially proposed it last May, we did have conversations, and we were not supportive of it at the time. The link between that was made initially with this would take care of education funding in this state has stayed with us since the lottery began. And to this day, when CTA does focus groups, when we do questionnaires, even going out to the public talking about education, you inevitably get the question, well, how about the lottery? Doesn't that take care of education? Mm-hmm. And so we have to educate the public that it's such a small portion. The last proposal, the governor, we did have conversations with his office on this proposal, and we have let them know that we do not like it because they are wanting to carve out education again, the $1.1 billion, whatever the amount would be. The K-12, K-14 portion would, according to them, and we don't have anything written, we don't have any details, I can only tell you how they explained it to us, would go to the Prop 98 base, would be applied to the base, and then we would get growth and COLA down the road. And for us, that is, we think it's bad public policy, period, to do the whole thing.
That, again, was Estelle Lemieux, who is a lobbyist with the California Teachers Association, testifying at this hearing on lottery privatization that happened in midweek, hearing held by State Senator Dean Flores, a Democrat of Shafter, who chairs the Senate Governmental Organizations Committee. And so this is a fascinating issue. If you're a policy wonk, a little bit of a geek like I am, you kind of are fascinated by the pros and cons of the policy. But there's a major political issue here, too, and that's going to remain to be seen what happens with the teachers' union. Also testifying at this hearing was a leader of the labor union that represents the state workers who work at the lottery, very concerned about what happens to those state workers. If a private entity takes over the lottery, will those people still have a job? Will they not? Will people who work for a privately run California lottery have the same kinds of situation with benefits and things like that? It's a very, very, very complicated issue. Clearly, the governor has a big interest in this issue now as he is using a portion of what he thinks the proceeds would be from leasing the lottery for his ideas for health care reform. So a lot to consider here and an interesting discussion, I think, this week. And, of course, we'll be talking a lot more about lottery privatization to come, in addition to the latest on health care negotiations and the special session on water issues. You name it, we'll be talking about it. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Capital Notes podcast, a little different of a podcast, but hey, we're trying to mix it up from time to time. Next week, we'll be back probably with our roundtable of political reporters, chitting and chatting about the week's political news. Until then, I'm John Myers from KQED and the California Report. We'll see you next time.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.